Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, welcome to Industrial Talk, the, let's say, ever-expanding industrial ecosystem that is dedicated to you, the industrial professional, solving problems, yes, collaborating, absolutely, innovating, you bet. Here, Industrial Talk, we're featuring incredible professionals that embody those qualities each and every day. In the hot seat, speaking of which, his name is Dave Evans. He is co-founder, of a company called Fictive, F-I-C-T-I-V. And you know what we're talking about? Some of the challenges that are happening in the supply chain, and what can we do from new product development? I'm telling you right now, that Fictive platform, stellar. Let's get going. So, in my past, I guess it's the past. Yeah, it is. It's the past. The way I used to do product development is you design it, and then you'd have to go find some sort of company to be able to develop it. And as time goes on, and time went on, that you just keep on working at it and designing it and then try to come back and see what happens and then refining it. There's a lot of work that goes into this whole product development. And I think today, once you'll hear from Dave, that the future in new product development and supply chain, it's bright. And I know that we're struggling right now with supply chain stuff, but I'm telling you right now, Team Fictive, Dave, his team, absolutely got their fingers on the pulse of a real solution that is transformative. It's transformative, and it's not hyperbole. I really enjoyed the conversation, and it's all doable because of all the technology and the innovation that exists out there. A couple of things. One, we're going to be at IoT Solutions World Congress. This is in Barcelona, broadcasting live, so make sure that you catch all of those great conversations from industry leaders, companies that are truly solving problems, desire to collaborate. Absolutely, there, IoT Solutions World Congress. We're also going to be up in Dallas, and that is for Distribute Tech, and we're going to be talking utilities, energy, and all the solutions that are around there. We're going to be broadcasting live there. And then we're going to also be in Chicago, Digital Manufacturing Summit, and the same thing, we're going to be there. And we just got word that we're going to be at IMTS. That is going to be in September. That's a huge manufacturing platform. So my call out to you, if you are there and you want to be able to talk about what you're doing and you want to do it in person and you're going to be at that a conference there, you got to start, knock on the door. Come, see me. And if I have you down there, I'm going to be pushing this all day long. But I would love to be able to have the conversation and have a conversation with you talking about what you are doing. So that's it. Another thing that I want to make sure that you guys are aware of, we're starting the campaign called We Are Industry. And if you're looking out on video, I have this hashtag on my shirt there. And it really is just sort of a celebration of the human component of industry. Industry is humans, right? It is made up of people who have a passion to try to solve problems. It puts food on the table. It creates meaningful work for a number of people around the world. And so this campaign celebrates that. And it's We Are Industry hashtag. We're going to put it out there on LinkedIn and just hopefully be able to highlight those human stories of people solving problems, helping people succeed, because that's what we're all about right here. Education, collaboration, and innovation. All right, on to the interview. So Fictive reached out, and you go out to his stack card. It's fantastic. And it is just a wonderful conversation of how this platform accesses a number of capable manufacturers to come up with great product development solutions, deals with the logistics, all of the components associated with that, so that you, new company, existing company, what you do is you just say, hey, Fictive, I've got this product. And then they work hand in glove with you to come up with the right product and then be able to sort of begin mass producing it. It's a fabulous, fabulous solution. So you're going to tons of information that you're going to glean from this particular conversation. So enjoy the conversation. Again, Dave, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you doing, Scott?
I thank you for your flexibility. We had a bit of a burp up last week, listeners, and he was very kind and gracious and said, okay, no problem. So here we are. We were able to.
All good.
Yeah, I see. I like that flexibility. Real good. Yeah. All right. Before we get into the topic, let's talk a little bit about your background. Give us a little background on who you are.
Yeah, let's do it. So I'm sitting here in sunny California, in San Francisco, and I'm a mechanical engineer by training. So founder and CEO of Fictive. And prior to that, I started my world in the automotive industry. So I was at Ford building infotainment systems, so dashboards of cars, call them vehicle bucks. This was kind of 2012. So what we were trying to do was basically put, think about tablets, iPhones, iPads, Android devices into a car, you know, almost a decade ago. And the challenge was really its development cycles. So we took a lot of this time from Ford, my training as a mechanical engineer from Stanford, and saying, how can you help basically put better consumer electronics into a vehicle? How do you shorten development cycles to really make that happen? But then how do you also make it easier to bring products to market? So, you know, we'll talk about the company. I think we'll get into the problems we see in supply chain, but really this comes from, you know, a decade ago, looking at how products are designed and developed in an automotive setting and saying, that has to be a better way, Scott. And I wish we'd made more improvement in 10 years, but I think that the future is even brighter ahead of us. So we'll dive into all that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's I love the emphasis on speed. Yeah. Because I know for me personally, I expect things faster now. You know, expect a delivery of whatever quicker, right? And it's just a modification in my expectation DNA. And I think that's across the board.
I think what's crazy is as a consumer, as you start using an Amazon or I use DoorDash to get food delivered to me, or I click a button and Uber comes, it's not like a taxi and you call and you wait for it to come, or you know that you had to go to the local store, go through five different shelves to find that, you know, pencil that you liked. It's just everything's immediate in a consumer world. So then you come into your business world, wherever you're working, and you're back to like Excel spreadsheets and faxing forms to vendors and manufacturing and like having to get on a plane and go to Vietnam to fix an issue. And you're like, wait, but in my consumer world, I can just order, you know, that device or I can get a taxi, just, you know, an Uber directly to me. Do I want an SUV, a black car, or I just want a Toyota, you know, Prius to show up? But then you come to the industrial world and it's like nothing's happened for decades. And so that was my experience being a hardware engineer at Ford, building infotainment systems. I was like, man, this is a mismatch. And, you know, speed was the emphasis. But then what you've learned is actually it's quality. Because speed without quality is nothing. But quality without speed is actually like, well, you know, if I wait 2 months for something and it's the highest quality, I didn't get any learning. So we started with speed, but then quality had to become table stakes. And, you know, that's really the emphasis that we'll get into as we peel back the onion here, but definitely started with speed.
Yeah. And I think I think that's an important component. I expect things faster. I don't have the patience like I used to. And maybe it's because I'm an old and crotchety son of a gun, but it's the reality of business, especially today, and that window of opportunity, right? Yeah. If I'm able to work with Fictive and say, I got this idea, here's the design, let's get it rolling and compress that, because the old way, or no, even today, it still works the same way where it takes a long time. Give us a little sort of rundown on the process. Let's lay that process out.
Yeah, I think so. Let's go back to that example. So I'm at Ford. I want to build a new vehicle buck dashboard. How do you do it? Okay, I got an idea. I want to do some amount of, you know, put an iPad in that you bring with you. Okay, you go to your CAD station. We use CATIA. You're going to 3D model and design this. From there, you have a physical or you have a digital design of what you want to get done. Maybe you have some requirements for what that part or mechanism looks like, and you have that. And now you got to get a physical form of that made. You got to build a prototype. We call this whole thing new product development, NPD. So in my Ford way, which not much has really changed, I would say, in a decade, was you would have kind of three options. You would go to your internal machine shop, prototyping shop, wherever. So Ford has a whole facility that's dedicated to this. That's option one. Option two is maybe I call up my tier one supplier. I call Magnus, I call Dana, I call someone. I say, hey, tier one supplier, go make this prototype for me. And you use that tier one or tier two. And then there's a third option of, hey, I'm going to go a little bit rogue, that I know Scott's local prototyping shop down the street from me, and Scott and I have a relationship. We met at a trade show, and I'm just going to call up my buddy Scott and have him build this. And so what I found at Ford was my internal shop had a backlog that was way too long, and I was never prioritized. It was always too busy. The tier one shop, they wanted to make a million of something. And I said, hey, build this one mechanism for this iPad. And they're like, I'm not busy enough. This is only 50 grand or whatever. I don't want to do it. And then I found myself as a mechanical engineer, I'm great at thermodynamics and fluids and all these things, having to build relationships with Scotts, basically all these local direct relationships. And so, yeah, I could get speed maybe from Scott's, you know, local shop. But like, Scott, you know, you want to know how I bumped up the queue in your shop? I brought a six pack of beer. Not that I was going to send hundreds of thousands of dollars to your machine shop. I'd fly there. Or I'd drive it. Hey, Scott, hey, I know you love Guinness, man. Here's a six pack of Guinness. Can Which you just bump me to the queue? It's not crazy, right?
So it's not. It's just like,
it's like, this is the way that the industrial world runs, is it's relationship driven. It's some local, and it's primarily offline. It's low sets of tools. And so when we looked at the space, you know, I'm at Ford, I'm with my co-founders, also my brother, Nate. And I'm like, Nate, this isn't just my problem at Ford. Like, every design engineer I know has the same thing of internal, a tier one supplier that they build relationships. Meanwhile, you know, Lyft and Uber's coming out. I can stay in someone's house with Airbnb. You know, there's all this, what we, you know, cloud is going on, that things are transitioning. And I was like, Nate, there has to be a better way of not just relationships in the industrial world where we can do this. And so what we set out to build, you know, almost 9 years ago, so almost a decade ago now, Scott, was we said, hey, let's find all of these manufacturers in the world that have the best quality. We're going to vet them. I'm then going to find idle machine time at any of these factories, and we will allow engineers to order custom mechanical products, high quality products, from this pre-vetted network of basically Scott's machine shops, of all of these factories around the world. And this was just an idea back in 2013.
Right.
And we said, well, if we did that, could the engineer speed up their development cycle? Remember, speed at high quality.
Yeah.
Could we drive more volume to the Scott's manufacturing plants all over the world? So kind of these two theses of better for Scott, because he's getting more work sent to him from like Ford. Better for Dave as the engineer, because he can order things just like he does on Amazon or Uber or wherever. And we said, wow, that'd be pretty cool. And so what we call this is a digital manufacturing ecosystem.
Yes.
That basically, like, we digitize this ecosystem of manufacturers to allow an engineer or supply chain professional at a Ford to order custom mechanical products from a pre-vetted network of machine shops. And there's a whole bunch of cool stuff that goes on there to make that happen. But it's really this basis of a distributed network, idle capacity, and really speed and quality.
So I, Dave, now all I have to go to is a platform just like Uber, Airbnb, whatever, and be able to, in that interaction, find a manufacturer with idle capacity that has the qualities already been vetted, you know, that's great. And be able to create that dialogue, that relationship that is so important, and begin compressing that time, but and still maintain quality. Is that right?
Totally. What I would adjust for you is like, well, imagine though, Scott, if what I did was I just gave you we have 250 of these partners globally, but now you still have to build relationships with them. I'm not actually helping you as a design engineer or a supply chain professional. In the same way as like, imagine if you ordered Uber and you personally had to vet every car, or you had to have a relationship with everybody there. That wouldn't be much help. So actually what we do is we are your manufacturer of record, Fictive. Meaning if you're that supply chain professional or there, you're buying a part from Fictive. I just don't own any machines, but I'm accountable for the price. I'm accountable for the quality of that product. I'm accountable for the pre-vetting and management of that network. So basically what I'm doing is, hey, Scott, I'm going to guarantee for you the fastest speed at the highest quality, but I don't own machines, but I have a whole group of people, an entire quality department that vets all these manufacturers, is boots on the ground for you, checking your parts before they come out. And you want to know what? We've made 19 million parts to date through this system. So like, you think we're good at this? I've done it almost 20 million times, but we are your manufacturer of record. So it's not like you have to vet all of these ones individually.
That's even better.
Yeah.
That, to me, it makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Now, if I came to you and I have a budget constraint, it's like, here it is right here. You work with me on that too.
100%. What I think about here is, how do you give an engineer or a supply chain professional choice? Meaning like, there's always three aspects you're trying to do. Speed, which is a schedule driven. Yeah. Quality, which is like something really hard that has to go to space or a medical device.
Yeah.
Or price, you have a budget. And so from there, think of this triangle, you're moving around into which one do you want. And so let's say you have a budget constraint. Great, we'll build that overseas for you. We have an entire team Asia. Yeah. It's a lower cost region. Maybe it takes an extra 3 days to ship it. Oh, you have a lightning hot project. You got a trade show coming up, needs to be there tomorrow. Great. We're going to build this thing. You're in Charlotte. So we're going to go build it in Atlanta for you, like pretty close, overnight it directly to you. You'll have it there on Friday. Oh, hey, you have the highest quality. You're in aerospace, but all of your manufacturers are at capacity. Well, we actually have a medical grade supplier that can do the same level of quality requirements that has available capacity. And maybe you don't need that certification. Okay, great. Let's just leverage another supplier from another industry with available capacity to get you that quality you need. Oh, you have a quality requirement? Great. These all have certifications of 13485 in medical, AS9100 in aerospace. All that's pre-vetted for you. So think of this as like, what I like to tell folks is, think of this as like your sandwich shop. You know, you show up there. Oh, I want the sourdough roll. I don't want the, pepper crusted turkey with Havarti, and I want avocado on it. Okay, great. There's your primo sandwich, and we'll build it for you. Whatever you need, Scott.
Do you, me as a user of your solution,
yeah,
and platform, part of the ecosystem, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Do I get an opportunity to sort of look at maybe the manufacturers, or do I just say, hey, here it is. I've got this budget constraint. I'm looking for this type of quality, and I need it in this time, and just allow Fictive, Team Fictive, just to come up with the right solution for me. Personally, I'm lazy. I don't want to get into the details. I just want delivery of what I want.
So I'd say we have two kind of like personalities that come in. We have the Scots you describe. I'm lazy. Give me what I want.
Yeah.
We define quality as conformance to requirements. It's always a good one. What is quality? Everyone's like, I don't know what quality means. Quality is conformance to requirements. So if you come in, Scott, and you say, I want this product at the highest quality, what that translates to Fictive is, I need to make sure that every requirement is conforming in the part that comes back to me. So then the question is, the old school or traditional way is like, I want to control the conformance aspect, meaning like I want to pick the supplier, I want to be on site, I want to go see it. And what I'd ask you is like, well, why do you want to do that? Do you think you're better at controlling that quality than I am? Like our entire livelihood, 19 million parts, is controlling, you know, conformance to requirements. So, hey, maybe Scott, you as an engineer, you've produced maybe 5,000 parts in your career.
Yeah.
I've done 19 million and we've done it at the highest quality. And so it always takes a little bit of trust, like any relationship, you know, where you got to show it. And so we do that through data. You know, we can show what we call QBRs, quarterly business reviews with them. We can show them quality ratings of like how much in the last 90 days has this manufacturing partner been on time and to spec. And I can show you data, not just for your parts, but every single part they've produced on a trailing basis and say, hey, yes, you could go control this supplier or pick them, but don't you think that processes and system and data is going to have a better outcome than what you might do? And I think generally after you break this down, you start to build trust and then you start small. I build one part, I build 10 parts, I build 100 parts, and it's this combo. And so I'd say you do have the two personas, Scott. You have you where it's like, it's not that you're lazy. It's just like, I trust you take care of it.
Right.
But then you have the skeptic that comes in. It's like, I want to do the whole thing. And to the skeptic, you say, here's data, here's processes, here's historical, like, trust me, we got you, you know, we'll take care of you.
Yeah. Because you can't afford to have a burp on that. Right.
No,
you just,
if you're, you know, if I got Johnny Ives from Apple showing up and he wants to look at the quality of this part, you can't just trust fictive that you're going to get it done. You have to guarantee. And that's really what we do is we say, look, it is a combination of technology to make sure that part's right, but it's also people on the ground. And that's really important, Scott. It's not like, it's not like it's this marketplace of 1,000 suppliers. We send it out there and you do this, cross your fingers and good luck. We literally have supply quality engineers that have eyes on every single part that ships through our system.
So with that said, if I would imagine the your manufacturing ecosystem that could manufacture this part, it's expanding because there's always going to be somebody that's saying, hey, Fictiv, can I be a part of your network, part of your ecosystem?
Yep.
And you say, okay, here, this is the quality requirements. Give it, fill this out. Let's vet you and all that. And yeah, you get the seal of approval from Fictiv. Yeah. When that happens and you guarantee, you know, boots on the ground and that person's in, you know, Timbuktu, you hire somebody out there and just say, hey, we need to find somebody to verify that the quality's, you know,
if that supplier is that good and they make, you know, magnesium parts, you know, for aerospace. And it's like, yeah, then we're flying out there. It's boots on the ground. We're living in the factory and doing it because that's what it takes. This is the industrial world. But what we do on top of it, Scott, which is really important, is you put technology in place.
Yeah.
So you don't just park a butt in there and say you stay there. We use technology to come in. And so what I like to tell folks is like, you can track a Domino's pizza better than most people can track their supply chain.
Which is just absolutely mind-boggling. You're right.
Mind-boggling.
And what's funny is, to that extent, you sit there on the app and you're watching it update.
Yeah. And so you want to know what we built at Fictiv, Scott? We basically built the Domino's pizza tracker, but for supply chains. I kid you not. So you can sit there, you place an order, $5,000. I need this titanium part. And it goes, boom, part's been ordered. Boom, it's been scheduled with a partner. Boom, it's in production. Boom, it's off the machine. Once when it's, it's in quality. Photos are getting taken of the part through our technology going through quality. Hey, Scott, you get a little notification pushed to you and saying, do you want to see your parts with all the quality reports before they ever ship? You click the button, you can see photos of all of your parts, all the dimensions that have been measured, analyzed, conformance to requirements, remember, before the things ever left the facility. And so all of that is like at your fingertips. Then it's like, hey, it's been tracking. Great. It just shipped out of Guangzhou, China, and it's going through export through their customs. Now it's going through import through US customs. Hey, now it's at a depot. Like all of that is able to be tracked through our technology, through the platform we've built.
You bring up a good point about the supply chain and going through customs. Does Fictiv handle all of the paperwork associated with that?
You have to. Yeah, I mean, because how else would I do this?
Manufacturer of record.
I'm the manufacturer of record. And what we've found is that a lot of people just make this a manual process. Hey, okay, maybe this is streamlined, but then once we get to the customs, it's back to email and PowerPoints and Excel files. We've built a whole workflow all for the logistics engine, basically, because like if you can't get the stuff imported, what good is this? Yeah. Suez Canal, stuff gets stuck in a ship. Like, I mean, look at the last 2 years.
It's like, I was going to ask.
You could get everything right and it's stuck in the LA port. And like, what are you going to do? And so when we say we control this ecosystem, Scott, it's from you have a set of requirements and I'm going to give you choice all the way through to that part being on your desk. And we are your guides to get you through that entire process. Because like, I mean, come on, this thing's called industrial talk, right? Like this is the industrial world. Like if I just said, hey, Scott, you deal with customs.
Yeah,
man.
No.
It's, no. Yeah. So it's.
See, I'm having a hard time poking holes in your value proposition, quite frankly, because I've been there, done that. I've manufactured overseas. It is a headache. It's problematic. But the challenge I always had to deal with is quality. That was always scary for me, you know.
Yeah. And I would say, look, it's scary to us too.
Yeah.
Every day we're making custom products that have to be perfect every time. So when we think about quality, you have QA, quality assurance, and you have QC, quality control. Assurance is all of your preemptive processes, structure, QMS, or quality management. It's all the stuff you do up front. Quality control is the reactive things, meaning after the part comes out, how do you actually make sure it's conforming to requirements? It's all the checks here. And so what I'd say is like, Scott, we nerd out on this. So when I say we do quality, I promise you we are deeper than probably any supplier you've ever, because like we've had to think through this because we've built an ecosystem where we're not running a machine in a factory. We're trying to build processes, QA up front, plus, you know, technology to do quality control at a global scale, at tens of millions of parts. And so the result of it is like, I'm with you, Scott. Like I was at Ford building dashboards of cars and I'm up at 1 a.m. with a supplier on Skype trying to make sure that like, you know, that my steering wheel's done right. And then like, I don't trust it enough. So I have to get on a plane and fly and my family's at home. Like, I don't want to do that. I want to stay at home. I want to hang out with my kids. I want to make products. I don't want to fly to a supplier, you know? And so all those things are, I think the reason why you're having trouble poking holes is like this isn't our first rodeo.
Yeah.
Like we've been doing it for almost a decade. Then on top of that, like we live the pain. Like, we're like built by engineers for engineers kind
of
thing.
Right. You know? But it just in the case of supply chain, when if you're manufacturing something in China, Asia, whatever, and you've had all of that the interruptions as a result of the pandemic, you recognize the fragility of the supply chain. Yeah. Something just burp, snarled, and farted, and it is just a problem. What does Fictiv? How can Fictiv sort of navigate those challenging waters?
It's a great question. So I love examples. I'm an engineer, so I need tangible things. So let's take something that recently happened. In Q1 of this year, so like in February of 2020, Shenzhen overnight went on lockdown. 17.5 million people. China government said, you're not going to leave your apartment. Sorry. Like this is happening in Shanghai right now, but let's use something that was, you know, a little bit in the past few months ago. So we woke up on a Sunday. And it was basically like 17.5 million people can't leave their homes. And like, we're like, okay, we pull out the playbook because we had this from 2020. And it's like, here's what we run. We had 249 work orders in flight in that region, 249. In 24 hours, we moved all 249 to other regions that weren't affected with near zero impact on lead time or cost to our customers. Just like, right, move this, move this, move this. Think of it like an air traffic controller diverting planes to an airport that just shut down. And because it's a digital ecosystem, we just went bop, 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 bop. And like near zero impact to the entire customers. If we were running in a manual way, Scott, like what would have happened to those 249 orders? You would have been like, sorry, bud. Like, we're just going to wait for the Chinese government to say you can go back to work. And you'd be sitting here like, I'm trying to ship my products. My customers are mad. And you just sit there with your hands tied. And so I think of this as like the air traffic controllers, a really good one, which most people can relate to. The other one is like, this is what cloud computing has done for the industry. It used to be like, hey, your on-prem server racks went down. So, hey, your website's just down. Sorry, too much traffic. You know, we can't handle the load. That doesn't happen anymore. You're just like, hey, I'm on AWS. I'm on Azure. Hey, the Northeast region just went down because of a blizzard. They just moved the stuff to the Southeast. And like, your servers are still up and running and crunching. So I always ask folks of like, in industrial, you're so used to supply chain disruptions like a pandemic, a trade war with China, a global conflict going on in Europe with a devastating war right now. And so you're kind of like, meh. But I would say like, does it have to be that way? Because in cloud and IT, they found a way to have resiliency. They have all these different regions, you know, in other industries, you know, taxis want to go on strike. Hey, Lyft and Uber are pretty much immune to that, you know? And so I think that you got to be creative in supply chain to say, there's another way to do this. There's another way to build resiliency in.
And you've got the product development down pat. And then do you handle, let's say, scalability and packaging and all of the other stuff? You know, I got to load up a container and you just go through all of that.
Totally. I would say there's kind of three major solutions where we like work really well with customers. There's what's called NPD, so new product development. We just talked about all that. Hey, I got an idea. I want to build a new microphone. We're going to help you get through that new product development. The second area where we really help is what's called ETO, engineer to order. So think of this as like one-off products that I am building, you know, maybe some very custom stage equipment for a Beyonce, you know, tour, or for Led Zeppelin going back out, or ZZ Top or whoever. And like you're building, you know, a flame machine, but one time that ETO, we do a lot of these one-off products, you know, that are custom. And then the third, you know, solution where we do a lot of is what's called MRO, which is maintenance, repair, and overhaul. I like to tell folks, especially in the industrial, this is like aftermarket for your car. Hey, you have a 1970s Mustang and you need a new fender for this, and like they don't make it anymore. We make a lot of that aftermarket product, or, you know, aerospace and their, you know, engines are getting refurbished. You know, we do a lot of MRO as well. So it tends to be a new product development, these custom engineer to order, or in this like aftermarket MRO. That's our sweet spot, Scott. It's where this solution that we've built really, you know, really kicks butt.
You know, I believe we take that MRO component for granted. For example, I'll go out there and I'll find some obscure product, just an obscure product. In fact, for our neighbor, I just bought the trolley for their old, it broke on their garage door opener. There it is. Plastic. Yep. Boom. Like it's
what you need. Literally last week, came back from a long trip, put my luggage, you know, on the plane, like a dummy. I didn't put it overhead. I checked it. I come off. What have they done? They've snapped all the wheels, broke on it. How do these wheels just break? And so normally, what would you do? You toss out the luggage, right?
Get another one.
You want to know what I do? I go to Fictive, I make a little wheel. I upload the wheel. Oh, it's $40. Cool. It's going to be in carbon fiber. Awesome. Just hit buy. literally came back last week, put the new wheels on the luggage, and I'm like, hey, honey, like, our luggage is fixed. And she looks at me like, oh, God, what am I going to do?
Come on, that's a pretty dead sexy story right there.
You know, and I'm like, I'm not throwing out this luggage. This is a nice piece of luggage. The whole thing's good. It's just the wheels busted. And I'm like, they probably didn't have, you know, carbon fiber wheels on it. I just printed it, you know, on a high-end 3D printer, made, you know, two wheels that I needed. And it was simple. It was great.
See, and again, I think that we take that for granted. It's just the other thing that, unfortunately, Amazon has done is created my expectations that are so high. I better be looking for that Amazon truck. I just ordered it an hour ago. Where is it?
But like, think about this example of the suitcase. It's a silly example where it's like, it's not, but like, normally you would just throw it out. Or if you didn't have Fictiv, and if I had to design it, I had to call up Scott's, you know, 3D printing service bureau. I had to email it back and forth. I wouldn't go through that hassle. But for me, it was like, it was a 10-minute exercise. It was like Amazon. It was like, oh, here's a wheel. For me, I can design really quickly, circle, extrude it, put a few things. Okay, great. Upload it. Oh, that's $50. Yeah, that's too much. Oh, just, okay, $40, that material, hit buy. It was like, you know,
that was it.
It was a little bit longer than Amazon, but it wasn't that.
Matter.
It wasn't that much more.
That is so doggone cool. Now, what's the pushback? I've been trying, but what's the pushback? I'm impatient. I want things yesterday. I have grand visions for whatever, and I have ideas that are spewing out of my ears. What's the pushback? Why are people?
I think not jumping
on board.
Status quo is really hard, Scott, to change off of. I'm sure all the listeners on here, you're like, come on, I've known Scott's Machine Shop for 20 years.
Yeah.
Scott's never done me wrong. And he takes care of me. Why do I need this digital system? Da, da, da. And I'm like, trust me, once when you try it, there is a better way to do this, right? And it's like, I remember my in-laws, they didn't have Amazon Prime. And they'd always be like, Dave, why do you buy everything on Amazon? And I'm like, because I don't want to go to Walmart. And when I show up, it's not there. And they're like, it's always there at Walmart. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like you drip on them. And I'm like, Lisa, like, you should just try Prime. Just try it out. And so finally, it was like around Christmas or something. She tries it out. And now every time we come over, Chris, my father-in-law, you know, he's sitting there and he's just like, man, it's another Amazon box is coming. And like, it's just, it's too easy. You know, he's like this grumpy guy. He's like, whatever.
Swipe right.
And he's just like, but this is so much better than going to Walmart and standing in that god dang line. And so what I'd say is like, what's the barrier here? It's like, man, Fictiv sounds too magical. How do they do this? It's too modern for me. But what I'd say is like, just try it. You know, it's like, if you try it out, you know, I think that you'll really see that there is a better, there's a better way of doing this.
Yeah.
And that's what I would really push folks.
I don't think you can build a business of resilience if you're not in the business of trying to figure this out and be more efficient and have greater responsiveness to market pressures, demands, whatever it might be, and the needs of the market.
Totally. I think that, you know, for businesses that aren't deciding to build geographic resiliency or agility into their supply chain, you're spot on. They're going to be left behind. What the world has shown us is like, it's not if another trade war is going to happen. It's not if another pandemic or force majeure situation. It's not if there's going to be another weather delay, you know, on there. It's when. And so then the question is, if you're not thinking about how to reimagine your supply chain, reimagine the way that you build things, like, somebody else is. And so I'd say it's not so much of like, is this good for business? Should I do it? It's kind of like, if you don't do it, like, your competitors are. And we're seeing that shift today. We're totally seeing that.
You have to, and you have to have a sense of urgency for when I, and everybody through this pandemic, all of a sudden, everybody became a supply chain expert. Do you know why? Because they went to the Walmart, and then Walmart didn't have the product that they had on the shelf that they had before, but it was all stuck in someplace. That's the real pain. That's the customer component. And it ticked me off.
Well, and I'll go one step further. That ticked you off because you couldn't buy a bike during the pandemic. Yeah. Toilet paper we couldn't find. Yeah. You couldn't find that little wheel for your neighbor's garage door opener. But what I'd tell you is, like, what if the world was perfect? Like, you know, stay with me here for a second. We're in this utopia, supply chains run everywhere, and there's no delays. But like, Scott, you have to buy everything that's mass produced today. Like, we talked about the microphone that you have here, how awesome, you know, this thing is from Plug Ear Trumpet Labs. Check it out. Ear Trumpet Labs. Go to the website. But like, what if you could buy things which were customized for what you wanted? Yeah. Like, what if there is this world where you didn't have to buy that garage door that, like, you know, was just the generic one, that you could get the special one that was for folks that, you know, were 6'5" and, like, you know, really tall, and had, you know, all the bells and whistles for tall people or something. Like, if that product could get to market because it was easier to design and develop it, like, that's a pretty cool place. Like, now we live in an industrial world where you have more customization. It almost is like the software apps that you use. It's like, you can find the like, as a podcast, you know, creator yourself, you have all these little tools for your business. Imagine if you could do that in the physical world. Like, that's a cool place to live. And so when I dream and I think agree. About, like, what could Fictive actually help? We help enable product innovators to create, meaning that whether that product innovator is a company or an individual, we are enabling them to create. And, like, I think that all human beings are creative in some form or another, and we need more help enabling that creation to happen. And, like, I get pretty excited by it.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point. Just think about all the ideas that get stifled just because they have no avenue to go. You know, it's like, hey, I got this great idea and I think it's work, but I don't know how to do it. Yeah. And they just let it die and it moves on. The benefits to society have been, you know, impacted. Let's figure out how we remove that friction.
And so if you bring this bar, if you lower the bar of entry to creation, what type of innovation would you unlock? And I'll give you, like, an example that's out there. We went to the moon, what, like 60 years ago, and it took the entire U.S. government to go push it. You now fast forward 60 years later, technology is amazing. Look how far out we are. Who's getting to space today? It's private companies.
Private.
It's like when I was watching the first images of the war going on in Ukraine, it was from satellites of customers that we built those satellites, Capella Space, one example of it. And they're taking low Earth orbit images of this global conflict going on, giving you like an API call. That's what Capella Space does. With an API call, you can take a photo of anywhere in the world. And I'm like, dang, that's cool.
It is.
You know, and so like they lowered the barriers to, like, satellite images. Whoa, you know, and I'm like, but, like, if you didn't make it easier for them to build all the hardware to do that, would Capella ever be able to do it? Probably not, you know? And I think about this as in all these ways of, like, there's all this innovation that gets stifled because it's only the large, massive companies that have budgets and resources to do this. But if you can bring those barriers down, you see some really cool innovation that happens.
There's some smart people out there, big dreams. We've just got to help enable that dream to come to pass. Boy, that's excellent. How does somebody get a hold of you?
Yeah, I think best way is, you know, you can, website's the easiest way. So go to fictive.com. You can check it out. I think the best thing that we have here is we produce a lot of really nerdy content. And I would say, like, we help teach people how to do this. And so go check out fictive.com. there's an entire, what we call, hardware guide. And it's a guide to help you build physical products. Whether you're a Stanford mechanical engineer that knows thermodynamics and you want to get super deep, or you're like, you're Bob or Sarah, and you're like just trying to figure out, you know, how to make this thing. Like, there's different levels of information. So definitely check that out. I know we worked with you, Scott. Thank you that we built a code so you can get a discount. Industrial, use the code industrial to get 10% off your first order. So we'll make sure that's in the show notes. But
take a test drive. Yeah. What do you got to lose?
Amen really? To that. So we want to show people there's a better way to do this and just like try it out. You know, like don't take my word for it. We're not trying to blow smoke here. It's like, but we know change is hard. So, you know, use that code, get out there, sign up. Literally, like, whether it's a suitcase wheel that we talked about,
yeah,
or you're building a satellite part, you know, for Capella, you know, go check it out.
God, that's pretty doggone cool stuff. All right. Thank you. Big Dave. Time, Dave. Yeah, big Dave wave. Big wave Dave. Whatever you want to call it, man. Thank you for being on Industrial Talk, man. You are awesome.
It has been super fun, Scott, and looking forward to seeing what people create.
It's cool. See, that's cool. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. All the contact information for Dave and Fictive will be there, so stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, Dave Evans is his name. Fictive is the company. And after that conversation, you should just be an absolute gomer for the company and what they are doing. Anything to remove friction in your work, in your day-to-day work, is a big plus for me. And I'm sure a big plus for you. Fictive has really worked out the kinks, and they've done it successfully. Why wouldn't you want to do that? You know, trust them, reach out to them, ask them some questions. Bottom line, they are an open book there to help you in a big way. Remember, we're going to be going to IoT Solutions World Congress. We will be at DistribuTech. We will be at Digital Manufacturing Symposium and many others. You got to look for us. We're going to be on the floor. We're going to be talking to you. Yes, you. Because you have a story to tell. All right. Hang out with people like Dave Evans. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. You're going to change the world. We're going to have another great conversation shortly, so, you know, stick around.